for this morning is coming from John chapter 20, and we're going to be starting at verse 19. And if you'd like to follow along in the Bibles, it's on page 1090, or pretty much thereabouts, or you should be able to see it on the screens as well. But before I read the story, for those of you that may not know where this is coming from, for us, it's been a week since Easter Day. It was a full 7 days ago. But in this story, it is the evening of Easter Day. So maybe in your minds, cast yourselves back a week ago to last Easter evening, and that's the same place where the people in the story are at. So, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Andy. Before Wendy brings God's word,
we're going to think about two points that came from our reading today. Do we always have to see things to know that they exist? And secondly, is it fair that we call Thomas Doubting Thomas? So let's think. Do we have to see things to know they exist? What are some of the things that you know of that you can't see but know are still there? We have a volunteer. Can you pass that along so you can all hear?
Air.
Awesome. Anyone else? Any more hands?
Radio waves that we can hear.
Wow.
What was that? Sorry, Wendy.
Sorry? Radio waves that we can hear.
Did you hear that? Radio waves that you can hear. Anyone else? There's one over here.
Black holes.
Wow. I'm not going to try and define those this morning.
Love.
Love. Wow. Love was the other one. Well, are there any more? There's one more. One more.
God.
I can go home. You've pretty much covered most things. So, Andy, could you come and give me a hand? So you're right, we can't see the air around us, but we know it's still there. Now we've got to find a plug. Open. Right, is there anyone that would like to come and turn this on for me? Come in. Sorry, Andy, you don't get to do that bit. So can you press that top button there for me? So we know that air exists, but that's perfect. What's happening? The only way that we know that air is existing, apart from the fact that you can hear the fan going, is that you see what happens when air blows, when something actually moves. So perfect. I can turn it off. So can you see sound waves? You talked about radio waves. You can't. If you've got a baby here, you might want to cover their ears. But I reckon you can hear this. So we can hear sound. We know that sound exists. And Andy, do we know that love exists? Do we know that Andy can love just by looking at him standing there? Andy, look loving. Does that look loving? What do you think? It's quite hard to look loving, to just see love, isn't it? But we know that love exists. We know when people say kind words to us, when people give us hugs, when people are nice to us, that they love us. You can go and sit down. I'm not quite sure where that went there, but there you go. So do we always have to see something to believe in it? Last week we celebrated Easter Day, the day when Jesus rose from the dead, that we may have life in his name. And today Rose has been baptized, that she may have life in Jesus' name. At the end of the reading today, John tells us that Jesus did many things in the presence of his disciples that we might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that we all may have life in his name. Now, poor Thomas was struggling a bit, wasn't he? Thomas couldn't quite manage the believing bit. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples. He'd been taught by Jesus. He'd prayed with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was a friend of Jesus. He was there at the time that Jesus was alive, and despite being told by others that they had seen Jesus, he couldn't quite believe until he saw Jesus himself and saw where the nails had been and where the sword had pierced his side. And that sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? Pretty gory. But that is what Thomas needed to see, and he says to feel, as evidence, as proof, to enable him to believe. Or he says, I will not believe. It's not until a week after, as Andy explained, a week after his friends have seen him, that Jesus comes and stands among them again. And this time, Thomas is there. For Thomas, it doesn't seem enough that Jesus has appeared in a room with locked doors. How did he get in? And that he has spoken to him. The Jesus who had died on the cross a week before was standing there and speaking, but Thomas wanted more evidence to believe. But Jesus simply invites Thomas to touch his wounds and to see them. He says, "Do not doubt, but believe." And he invites him to believe. Now, this passage doesn't tell us whether he actually did touch them, but it is then that Thomas gets it. He says, "My Lord and my God," and it appears that sight was enough. So how about us? Can we see Jesus? Can we see him? No. So how do we know he is real? We don't know that air is there until we see the effects of it. We don't see sound, but we can hear it. We can't see love, but we can feel it and we hear it. We can't touch those wounds in Jesus' hands and sides, but we can see the difference that he makes to people's lives. We can hear the words of his life through the Bible. We can feel his love. We do know that he lived. And each of us sharing our experiences of what Jesus has done in our lives can often be the most powerful testimony for others to come to believe. They see the living Jesus alive and at work today, being a witness. So let's not forget the parish theme for this year, being a witness. If you have an account of what Jesus has done in your life, do share that with others. Now, yesterday I read an article in the BBC News, Top Stories. It was titled, Can You Be Spiritual If You Don't Believe in God? And 10 people explained what spirituality meant to them. There were many varied answers on what they termed the 21st century spirituality and what it meant to these individuals. And I think one was particularly written for today by a lady, Reverend Bonnie. She said, doubt is important to personal development. It is doubt that keeps you asking questions and broadens your belief. So is it right that we give poor Thomas such a hard time? And in doing so, do we then give ourselves a hard time in return? I would hope that as Rose grows up and as her parents and her godparents walk with her, she's able to turn to them and to ask us as well as a church, us as a people in the church, and ask us questions. Children grow up naturally inquisitive. Most of them go through the why phase. What is it that makes us build up inhibitions that stop us from asking why, how, what, when, who? Perhaps it can become a bit irritating as a parent when you've been asked why to every answer you've been given, and I speak from experience. My daughter led me to seek help from others to answer her questions when she was younger. Each time I gave her what I thought was a perfectly good answer, she'd say, but why? It may well have been an excuse to elongate going to bed, but actually it led to a very deeply questioning child. And don't panic, that doesn't lead to all parents becoming ordained. Perhaps we need to allow ourselves, when that burning question comes up, not to suppress it and to say to others, but to say to others, what, why, when? Don't think it's a stupid question, because I bet the person next to you is thinking exactly the same thing. Now, this Reverend Bonnie I was talking about goes on to say, certainty closes doors, doubt deepens faith. Certainty closes doors and doubt deepens faith. And I would add, because faith isn't a walk in the park where everything becomes crystal clear and is forever crystal clear, we will have times of doubt. And this is where we grow as we dig deeper into our faith and rely less on expecting certainty. So I love the fact that Jesus made sure Thomas saw him. He might have missed him the week before, but Jesus came back and he sees him then. Jesus had appeared to Mary, he'd appeared to the disciples, and he appears to many, many more. Thomas had simply missed him. It would be easy to be one of the friends and say, oh, come on, Thomas, we're telling you, so just believe. But for Thomas, he needed to see it for himself. He felt he needed to experience what they had experienced. So all the evidence that we have now, we can see Jesus. The pointers that we have towards Jesus, we see him in the Bible, we see him in history, we hear of others who have experienced his love. So perhaps we need to go out and look in the world. When we go out today to look for the evidence of Jesus before us, look at nature, look into the child's eyes, look at the homeless man, look at those in your family, and let us have the courage, as Thomas did, to ask questions. Doubt allows the doors to close, to open. But seek that they may be opened. Do seek that they may be opened, and allow our doubts and our questionings to grow our faith. Maybe you're still searching like Thomas. Maybe you want to see Jesus for yourself. Or maybe you have already found him. Go out and seek him in the places that you wouldn't expect. So let us pray this morning that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, that in our seeing we come to believe in a deeper way than we ever have before. We believe through trusting in God. We are walking the way, the truth, and the life, and that he can make a real difference for us now and into eternity. Amen.